One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
rose up to meet him, and it depends. swarm, if you will, of the honeybee. He lives, basically, all of his life. He works in building the comb and the hive, and filling it with three things. Now, there's three things that are concerning the kingdom of heaven: water, blood, and spirit. In this case, the larvae and the honey to feed, and the pollen that it takes when they build their storing their food and raising their larva, the double sided of the cells share a common base. Each comb face can have hundreds or even thousands of cells produced in an order to be filled with honey, pollen, and eggs. Now, we know the side benefits from pollination of flowers. The honeybees pollinate the flowers, and without the honeybee, there wouldn't be any edible food chain for our people. And so it is with the three things that the honeybee has in likeness to the kingdom principles. There's three things that in the assembly, which is regulated, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these are all one working, if you will. And if you've ever watched bees work, it's marvelous. It seems like that they have a mind that shares together some kind of a common bond. And just like we are in the spiritual, we should share this common bond of love. And the Bible said this is how we know that we pass from death to life, because we love our brother. Once you see this, you feel this bond. It is marvelous. It don't happen to everybody. It's unique. It comes from heaven. It's something that you don't earn. It is a gift. It's given to you. And by this, all of the people of the world will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. You have this common bond. Well, bees work for one purpose. And it's marvelous. And we're going to get into the mysteries of the beehive. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves a treasure upon earth, where the moth and the rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." The same thing happens to bees in the colony and the hive. The moth and the enemies, they come in and they rob the bees. Dr. Gary and I were at the farm a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking with a man that is a registered beekeeper. He's an expert. And just listening to him in his conversation talking about the marvelous nature of a bee and the hive and the swarms just reminded me of the kingdom principles. As he talked, I related everything he said, just bumped it up a little bit higher, and related to the kingdom. Bees themselves have enemies. They have thieves that break into the hive, man being one of them. Of course, he's got natural enemies like the moth and the parasites that come in, the mites and stuff, that can actually wreak havoc in a beehive. But when everything is treasured and everything is in order, when you lay up treasures in heaven, now this is the principle that I'd like to give to you. You can build a treasure on earth. Men have built great buildings. I was watching an interview with one of the richest men in the world today. His name is Rupert Murdoch. He owns Fox News and a host of media outlets and exchanges, and he's one of the richest men in the world. And yet, the simplicity, you see, everything is so simple. We believe that life is complicated, and we try to complicate life, but just like the simplicity of the bee in the royal hive, and there is a substance that is part of the makeup of the bee. It's a special food for the queen. It's called royal jelly. And it's different from the honey. Although honey is a marvelous food for man, and the Bible speaks often of honey and the delicious taste, it's marvelous how that these flowers produce the nectar and the bees, the workers, which they are born for one reason, and it's not to gather honey. That's not their purpose. And yet they do it unselfishly. They do it with a set mind. They do it so that they might breed with the queen. And yet she's right among them, and they never recognize her as the queen. She's just one of the bees. They're so busy and so involved. Think not. Lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth, but lay your treasures up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Their ultimate goal for breeding purposes or for survival, if you will, is to swarm. Once the bees swarm and leave the hive, that's where the mating starts. That's where the very treasure that they have worked for all of their life. And maybe out of the 5,000 bees that swarm, only 5 to 10 to 15 of the bees actually get to mate with the queen. But it's marvelous how that this is compared to the kingdom principles. And yet we have today a problem with the bees. Now, very few people know about what goes on in the hive. And very few people know what goes on in the world. Now, I'm not exaggerating that this amazing feat of nature about the life in the conducting of the hive, and I've been studying on it for a while, especially since we got to meet the beekeeper. And we got a young lad at the farm, and he's training. He's being trained as an apprentice to take care of the bees. And very few, I imagine, have profaned the secret of the queen bee's wedding, which takes place in this infinite radiant circle of a beautiful sky, the meeting. And it's almost like our expectation of a queen coming from heaven. Now it says in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke that we should be as workers to the kingdom, laying up treasures in heaven, not on the earth, making sure that we have a kingdom principle applied, just like preparing the hive, making sure we build our building correctly, lay it out according to the pattern. And who in the world would ever imagine the shape of the hive or the shape of a queen, where they store three things within it as it is matched up to the kingdom principle of water, blood, and spirit, or the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit? This is the food stuff. When it comes to pass in this swarming, we're able to witness the hesitating departure of the bride elect and the murderous return of the bride. I mean, that's the royal virgin out of a thousand. One only will have for one instant to follow in space the female who desires not to escape. And her eyes and organs are like the eyes and organs of the infirm compared to those of the male. She's unique. She's made for one purpose. And that is to breed or to fill the hexagon, the cone, with the eggs and the larvae, if you will, and the workers provide the food, which is the honey. So we've got the pollination, which is used, the three substances, to produce the hive and its prosperity, to create food for the worker bees. And they stay literally, the bees, the worker bees, they stay literally drunk or intoxicated on the honey and the pollen as they work to provide food for the coming swarm or the bees that are going to be born. The secret of the queen bee's wedding. Remember he said in the 36th verse of Luke chapter 12, I want you to be like, in comparison to the honeybee, I want you to be like men working and obeying and doing the things which please me, waiting or looking or expecting me when I return from the wedding. And this is all compared to the swarming of the bees. Now, she comes back to earth to fill the hive with the eggs or the larvae, which then feeds on the stored food of the honey to produce the next workers, which actually select the next queen. Now, notice the queen. When it comes to pass in the infinite radiant circles of her swarming in a beautiful sky, we're able to witness the hesitant departure of the bride elect and the murderous return of the bride elect. However, great is her impatience. She will yet choose her day and her hour and linger in the shadow of the portal till a marvelous morning fling open wide the nuptial space in the depths of the great azure vault. And she loves the moment when it drops of dew still moisten and the leaves and the flowers and the last fragrance of a dying dawn still wrestles with a burning sky. And like a maiden caught in the arms of a heavy warrior, when through the silence of approaching noon is heard, once again a transparent cry has lingered from sunrise. And then she appears on the threshold in the midst of an indifferent foragers, the workers. And if she has left sisters in the hive or surrounded by a delirious throng of workers, should it be impossible for her to fill her place? She starts her flight backwards and returns thrust to the alighting board, and then, having definitely fixed in her mind the exact situation and aspect of the kingdom she has never yet seen from without, she departs like an owl to the zenith of the blue. she soars to a height which is a luminous zone, and the other bees obtain at no period of their life, far away, caressing their idleness in the midst of the flowers, the males have beheld the apparition, having breathed the magnetic perfume that spreads from group to group, till ever apparent near is instinct with the immediate crowds that collect and swarm, and follow her into the sea of gladness, whose limpid boundaries ever recede, she drunk her with her wings, obeying the magnificent laws of the race that closes her lover, and enacts that the strongest alone shall obtain her in the solitude of the ether. She rises still, and for that first time in her life, the blue morning air rushes into her stigma, singing its song like the blood of heaven. And in the marid of tubes of the torrential sacs, nourished on space that filled the center of her body, she still rises to a region and must be found unhaunted by birds that else might profane the mystery. She rises still, and already the ill-assorted troop below are dwindling and falling asunder. The feeble, the infirm, the aged, the unwelcome, ill-fed, who have flown from inactive or impoverished cities, these renounce the pursuant and disappear in the void. Only the strong. Only a small, indefinable cluster remain, suspended in infinite opal. She summons her wings for one final effort, and now the queen of incomprehensible forces has reached her, has seized her, and bounding aloft with united emphasis, the ascending spiral of their intertwined flight whirls for 1 second in the hostile madness of love. It's marvelous, ladies and gentlemen, how that we could compare the kingdom to the aspiring hopes of the saints. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says that we will meet him in the air. We expect the bride and the queen and the father, the workers, to be reunited at some point, for he's coming back, and there's going to be a host to swarm to meet him. And everything is prepared in the hive before receiving him. Now, the hive is not up in heaven. It's built upon earth. Your treasures are upon the earth. Your possession, or your repossession, is on the earth. All of the things to sustain you forever, the righteous shall inherit the earth. The whole purpose of the hive is to survive. And together, we stand in our strongest, we survive to swarm. Only those who survive. The Bible said, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and few there be to find it. And in a strong colony, or a strong place for the bees to find, in some cases, the hives are they get weak. The workers get weak. And then they begin to multiply because they have a sense of urgency. And in doing so, what happens, the quality of the quantity begins to drop. And that's why that Yahweh is only looking for those workers, the worker bees, who are able to swarm and to breed and to enjoy the nectar of the fruits of their labor. Be content in what you have. Plan for heaven. Lay not up for your treasures on the earth. Plan your hive or your place of worship. Fail not to assemble. And the worker bees, comparing it to those who would come and prepare. Bees build combs only when there is a need in the hive. They build these for shelter, for storing food, and for raising the larvae. And every aspect of the comb is regulated, every one of them. Do everything in decency and in order. Each is double-sided. For instance, with sales, China, a common base, each comb face can have hundreds or even thousands of cells produced in an ordered manner to be filled with honey, pollen, and the egg. The three things that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with the three things that is necessary to produce a kingdom life here upon earth, water, blood, and spirit. You got to be born of the water and of the blood, the royal blood. And we have, the Bible says, we have food, the royal jelly, to eat of that the world knows nothing about. He said, if you eat of this food, you're going to hunger again. But if you will eat of the royal jelly, or if you eat of the food that I am for you, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. You will be able, just like the little honeybee that builds the top of its cone down to the middle, it's filled with honey. From the top of the cone down to the middle of that little chamber is filled with honey. Now, notice, in the center, the pollen is stored underneath of the honey. And then you have the larva. And the workers always store a few rows of pollen between the larvae chambers and those used for honey. This prevents the three contents, the honey, the larva, and the pollen, from becoming mixed up in the near total darkness of the hive. Don't you know that the Bible says that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, and yet you are the light of the world? Always have a plan like the honeybee. Always support the cause of the queen, the bride. We labor for the bride. The workers always store a few rows of pollen between the larva chambers and those used for honey. This prevents the three contents, the honey, the larva, and the pollen, from becoming mixed up. Honey and the larva being kept separate is very definitely, most of all, to humans' benefit. Otherwise, beekeepers would face an ill-resolvable problem. Seeking to separate one part of the honeycomb in their efforts to extract the honey would inevitably harm the new members of the colony, which they don't want to do. The presence of larvae and the honey would also make it far less palatable. Again, the consciousness behavior permits the separation. In appearance, there is no difference among the cells in the comb for the larvae, the pollen, and the honey. They are all identical. But despite this resemblance, as we have already seen, the queen never makes the mistake of laying her eggs in empty cells intended for honey or pollen. but always lays them in the right place. No doubt. This is a discriminating ability given to her by the Creator, who in the metaphors and the analogies of the sale for the honey, compared to the queen, which is compared to the bride, which is to the swarm, which is looking for his coming, ready to raise up to meet him. How are you to raise up? And most Christians think I'm going to go flying up in the sky like a honeybee and drift off into space and never come back. That's not what's going to happen. The bee swarm, that's true, only for the purpose of meeting their obligations, caught up together in heavenly places. That is a metaphor of what the kingdom principle is. The cells of the comb are filled with honey, pollen, and eggs in a specific order. And the queen never violates the order. How do they know this? The workers always store the from the top to the middle honey. And the middle part, they store the pollen. And the bottom, the larva chambers, and the cells for the new queens are built at the very bottom where that they can have the food chain at their command. Like all other living things, honeybees have their own unique forms of behavior. They're full of questions for those who would consider evolution. And some of the things that the questions produce or the actions of the bees have frustrated those who would say that they learned this through evolution. They have no answer for a great many of the questions, just like I was listening to the wisdom of the beekeeper, teaching the apprentice the principles of the great mysteries of honeybee. Very few people are familiar. There's danger around a swarm of bees. But an expert beekeeper knows how to tame the honeybees and to gather them into another colony. So the swarm is beneficial because in this case, the queen, the bride, is taken to another chamber. Well, the Bible talks about the queen being in the chamber in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Beautiful analogy that the queen is now in the chamber. But the Bible says in Luke 12:36, she's coming back with her husband to receive the worker bees, or those who have worked in the kingdom principles. As Charles Darwin wrote an extensive article about bees, admitted that he found it difficult to explain the behavior of the bees as well as the ants, known as social insects, because of the way they live in the colonies. In terms of the mechanisms of his theory, in one question he asked in The Origin of Species, Darwin emphasizes the inconsistency of the theory that he originated with regard to instincts. Can instincts be acquired and modified through natural selection? What shall we say to the instinct which leads the bees to make cells, and which has practically anticipated the discoveries of profound mathematicians in their design of the honeycomb? If one divides the comb down the middle, a most interesting vista opens up. The comb had a partition wall, like that of the other parts of the comb, is made from wax and forms a common foundation for the mirror image cells that are on both sides. the common floor of the cell is not level. But a series of depressions are made to fit each other in order to save space. The sidewalls of each hexagon stand at a slight incline in respect to the partitions of the wall. This incline prevents honey from flowing out of the field cells. Now, could there be anything in the social instincts of these that could be acquired through the order of the species, meaning that the evolutionary mechanisms would form through habits? I don't think so. What makes a bird that has never flown a route have instincts to migrate? What built-in radar? What tells them to do that? In addition, from the honey being fixed in the cells to keep from flowing out of the cells, there is a hierarchy in the hive in that the cells for workers are higher up and those for the drone males, which are fewer in number, are lower down. The queen cells are constructed at the very lowest level. All these brood cells are constructed according to need. For example, when the number of males in the hive drops, or at the end of winter, during winter, there are no drones in the hive. The bees start to make the rather larger cells to accommodate the males. In this way, the queen cells are constructed only when a new queen is required to come to the hive. In the construction of the combs, there are a great many other important details, such as the mathematical calculations required during the production and the use of the raw material for the honey comb. And all this is astounding. There is a most regular structure in the combs so that the honey and the larvae never become intermingled. It's amazing. The first stage in a comb construction is beeswax is the main building material in the comb, beeswax. Bees secrete wax from four pairs of glands under their abdomens. Where these glands meet, there are two small apertures where the wax is secreted in small, thin scales. To collect this wax, bees use the hooks made of the small hairs of their hind legs. And they then push the wax forward to the middle legs and then to their forelegs. Bees have six legs. Finally, they pick the wax up in their mouth and make it malleable by chewing it. As soon as one scale of wax is removed, another immediately emerges behind it. In the secretion of wax, heat is the most important factor. Listen to this now. This is amazing. Did the Bible speak about he wanted you hot or cold? Because if you became lukewarm, the bee is constantly making sure that the temperature is correct for the establishment and the construction. And the beeswax that comes from the small hairs on their hind legs, they then push the wax forward to their middle legs and then to their forelegs, for they have six legs. And then they pick the wax up in their mouth and make it malleable by chewing or by heating it to create this great cone, or it's a kingdom principle, the royal kingdom. And they have a order that cannot come from evolution. It has to come from instinct, from a power that knew how to fill this bee mentality into the mind of the bee. wax or the heat of the wax is most important. And when they begin to construct their comb, they come together in a chain resembling a large ball. The 35 degrees centigrade, 95 degrees of temperature, is necessary for beeswax to become malleable and thus insured, and thus it becomes a palatable substance suited for their construction. Beeswax is white. Oh, I'm not going to even go there. I could, but I'm not. When it is first secreted and after pollen and other materials are mixed into it, the color turns yellow to brown. The chemical ingredients of beeswax are as follows. Hydrocarbon, 14%. Molesters, 35%. Diesters, 14%. Hydroxy polyesters are 8%. And free acids are 12%. These make up the beeswax. And the process of the production necessitates substantial qualities or quantities of energy. Bees consume approximately 22 kilograms, which is 48.5 pounds of honey, in order to make 1 kilo, or 2.2 pounds of beeswax. I'm going to bring this back to you. Bees consume approximately 22 kilograms, which is 48.5 pounds of honey, in order to make 2.2 pounds of beeswax. Bees take beads of wax from their secretion glands in a size no larger than the head of a pin. This makes it clear why beeswax is so valuable. Bees get the maximum use out of beeswax by using it, even the very tiniest of particles. Indeed, it has been observed that even when they must abandon the hive entirely, they prefer to carry the beeswax to the new hive rather than producing new wax by consuming honey. Very resourceful. Remember what Yahweh done when he and the colony there, where he fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes and had them to pick up the 12 baskets that remained after he had fed the 5,000. Bees are very practical. I didn't know this about bees until I studied today. It's been amazing. I just can't wait to get in part two to tell you how they construct, what design it is, what mathematics that they use. The German scientist M. Collinger researched the subject and found that a colony which was abandoning its old hive to establish a new one, he found that they carried most of the wax in, rather than the honey. The following day, when the workers returned to the hive, Collinger observed them chewing up the wax from the old hive and carrying it to the new one. The reason for this daytime behavior is that so much of the bee's energy goes into wax production. Bees use the wax in the most economical way to build the most of their honeycomb, with the least possible amount of wax. For example, it has been calculated that bees use only 40 grams, which is 1.4 ounce of wax, to make a comb, and 22.5 by 37 centimeters, which is 8.9 by 14.5 inches in dimension. Such a comb could hold more than 2 kilograms, which would equal 4 pounds of honey. Now let me tell you how beeswax comes into existence. Comb construction depends on the existence of wax. The fact that this substance, ideal for the making of cones, is produced by bees in itself a proof of creation. Evolution maintains that bees don't possess this attribute at the time that they first come into existence. and that all their attributes and behaviors come into being gradually as a result of a series of coincidences. It has now been termed to be useful to consider the unfounded nature of these claims by asking a number of questions that demand an answer. First of all, how do bees discover the ingredients of beeswax, which consists of a substance completely unknown to them? How is it that every single bee has been able to employ the same formula repeatedly for millions of years? How did bees manage to form the glands and the organs necessary to produce such an ideal material as beeswax within their own bodies? You know that the Messiah talked about building your house on a solid foundation? You never see a bee colony fall. Even those in the wild. Now, you can construct, and they will take advantage of a hive. And while we were at the farm, they were putting new supras, that is, the compartments where they compartmentalize for the bees, and they take advantage and they build the comb in these supras. Well, the Bible said, take heed how you build. Lay not up your treasures in the earth, but lay them up in the kingdom principles. Who taught you that? Was it evolution that taught you how to obtain salvation? I don't think so. Your name was written on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. You had this instinct because you were a servant of the King. How is it that they have been able to employ the same formula for millions of years? How do bees manage to form the glands and the organs necessary to produce such an ideal material as beeswax within their own bodies? Assume for a moment that bees somehow manage to generate beeswax, the raw material for their combs, but that success has no meaning in isolation, because at the same time, the bees must also possess all the technical knowledge and competence for the construction that the work it takes to perform. Also assume that no matter how impossible that this may actually be, that by chance a bee did come in possession of all these attributes, that it is still not enough. The bee in question would also need to teach its knowledge to the other members of the colony, which must form the necessary systems for producing beeswax in their own bodies. Moreover, the bee also has to transmit this information and system of production to subsequent generations to follow. In addition, bees must also know about division of labor that lets them all work together. It is not enough for every bee to possess this knowledge and competence to construct combs. They also need the conscious intelligence with which to establish the requisite of the organization. Such questions as how bees carry out this organization and know-how communication is established among them, and how it is that no confusion ever emerges among the tens of thousands of bees in the dark hive, this Mr. Darwin admitted that he had no answers. All rational people need to employ their conscious and ponder the conditions set out in general terms from just what I have given you. It's, of course, not possible for an insect like the bee to have come into possession of the necessary attributes for making combs and using these in the most advantageous manner entirely by chance. There has to be, within the extraordinary construction ability of the bees, compatible either with the size of the bee, nor with the brain capacity, nor with reason and consciousness, the bee's abilities, by comparing them with man's, could a person possessing reason and intelligence create a new secretion that would be of benefit to his own body or his own will? Could he, for instance, design a new system that allows the saliva glands inside his body to produce glue? Everyone realizes that such a feat is quite out of the question, and it's therefore reasonable to expect the bee to be able to do what human beings cannot. It's marvelous. There is a higher power, and everything is on the principle of the kingdom. Yahweh gave his own body, just like the male worker, to establish the queen to become pregnant with the larva of the kingdom. And where she swarmed into the heavens in the first resurrection, she's coming back again with all those who have the instincts of kingdom principles to place upon this earth the greatest royal kingdom that this world has ever seen. Who provides for you out of heaven and earth? Who controls your hearing and sight? Who brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living? Who directs the whole affair? And of course, they will say, it is Yahweh, the great and the mighty one. And so the construction of the comb is a miracle. And I marvel at the little honeybee as they begin constructing a comb from the top and work downwards. From two or three different spots, the construction of the comb widens out and towards both sides and joins to the other two rows. This work is performed in such a harmonious manner and regular that it's impossible to tell where the three different parts join together. The pieces of the comb built from separate starting points are so regular that despite consisting of hundreds of cells and having hundreds of angles, they look like one single structure with no joints to be seen. This reveals that bees do not set about this task randomly, but calculate the distance between their starting and end points beforehand. The width of the cells for the honey, the pollen, and the larva also standardize at from 5.2 to 5.4 millimeters, which is 0.20 to 0.21 hundredths of an inch. Only the cells for male bees are larger at 6.2 to 6.4, which is equal to 0.24 hundredths to 25 hundredths of an inch. A bee measures the width and thickness of the comb cells, and thanks to its sensitive receptor hairs, which are concentrated mainly on the mouth and the antenna, it has been established that on one single bee's antenna, there are 8,500 sensors, and some 500,000 receptor cells, which, using these hairs, the bee measures the thickness of the cell on the walls as she makes. In making these calculations, she behaves exceedingly careful, as a bee adding wax to a cell consistently pushes the wall, determine its elasticity and thickness according to its movement, which is designed from below as above, which is a kingdom principle. See, do it according to the pattern. Yahweh has plugged it into the pattern of the bee to build a kingdom, to supply itself with the royal jelly of the eternal life. Yahweh has also built a kingdom on the same principle for his sons and daughters. What a happy day. Well, you listen to Pastor Buddy, and my time is all come and gone tonight. I'll be back with part two tomorrow night and tell you about the mysterious destruction of many of the colonies of the bees here lately. Something's going on decimating the entire population of the bees. Something's going on. Somebody's attacked, and the enemy has done this. Just like the Bible said that when Yahweh built his kingdom here, the enemy came and brought the tares. And so it is with the bees. Something is happening. We're going to get into that tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it tomorrow night. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Again, 423-626-2172. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh loves you tonight, and so do I. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. They're king bees and queen bees. They're workers in the kingdom, praise Yahweh, united to stand in building the kingdom principles. Are you ready to build your sanctuary just like the bee? Work on it today. Start right now. Yahweh will bless you. I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on Wednesday at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, part two of the Kingdom Principle of the Bee. Yahweh bless you.